to you in the name of God, God, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It's great to be back here with you after being away in China for 14 days. It was an experience, and people have asked me to share my thoughts, and I'm happy to do that this morning, but I'm going to share them from a perspective of being a clergyman there who was always interested in the spirituality of what's happening in China. I want to begin first by reading again the collect for today, for this is the second Sunday after the Epiphany. Redeemer of Israel, you called us from before our birth to follow in your ways. Meet us in our searching and turn our eyes and hearts to the one who gives his life for the world, through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Meet us in our searching and turn our eyes and hearts to the one who gives his life to the world. I believe my experience in China taught me that the people of China are still searching. They're searching for freedom. They're searching for a sense of spirituality. And they've been trying out for a long time a lot of things. And they've had so many forces at work. I want to set the scene a little bit. For those of you who've been there, you know what I'm talking about. In an area the size, geographically, of Chilliwack and Abbotsford put together as one block of land, in that space, think about this, 55 million people live. 55 million. That's a third more, or almost half again as big as Canada, in a space of Chilliwack and Abbotsford put together. It's astronomical. The apartments where they live are small. Each individual lives in a space of about 300 square feet, and a double apartment is about 600 square feet in size. They do it all in meters. So approximately 100 meters to 200 meters size. And a 100-meter, square-meter apartment costs about $2 million Canadian. And the 200-square-meter apartment would cost roughly $4 million. So you can see when people come here to buy property, a piece of property in the area of Vancouver is nothing for what you get here compared to there. And the thing that you can't help but notice, that the air is so polluted. We had days when we were in Beijing, and the first 2 days we were there, Erica, my wife, and I, standing here, I would have difficulty seeing the back door of the church. It was that polluted. The light, when the sun was up at noontime, shining down, you know when there's the eclipse of the sun and they put all these smoke filters over so you don't hurt your eyes and you see the disk of the sun? It was like that all the time, but just in the air. People wearing masks, and you're very short-breathed all the time. I had trouble walking up onto the Great Wall of China because of the nature of the air. The water is clean looking, but it's full of parasites. And so you must drink only bottled water, and any other water that you allow must be boiled. So for wetting your toothbrush, brushing your teeth, and then rinsing your brush, you have to use either boiled water or bottled water, not tap water. And they told us that if we are in the shower, don't let any water get into your system. You'll be sick. And also, don't eat salads. Don't eat any fruits or vegetables that have been washed with water, because they have adjusted, the Chinese people have adjusted to the parasites in the water, but you haven't, and you'll get quite ill. And so, no salads for 2 weeks. It's a bit of a discipline to remember this especially the shower. In fact, when I got back from Shanghai to home in Abbotsford, one of the first things I did was to go into the house and have a shower and let the water fall into my mouth. It was such a pleasure. The little things that we take for granted, you no longer take for granted. The Chinese people themselves are lovely people. They are like us. The everyday person just wants to have their life, succeed, have children and grandchildren, raise their families, be educated, and have a life. But over the top of that is the Chinese government, and they're everywhere. We saw police, armed officers everywhere. I expected to see them in Tiananmen Square, and there was lots of them there. But they're in the libraries, they're in the subways, they're in the super, the malls everywhere. And the malls are all brand new and very high end. Lots of lighting. Lots of lighting on the walls of the buildings on the outside. Very glitzy. The buildings are made of marble and sandstone that's been cut by stone cutters. And lots of columns. And looks very glitzy. And most of it's quite new. But we saw in Beijing, Tianjin, and Shanghai, not more than 25 years old. So they've had a revolution. And about a third of the 1.5 billion population are doing very well. And a billion, are suppressed and they're almost serf-like. And I think all the army people and the police and so on are there to keep things under control. Erica, my wife, had to meet with officials of four different universities talking about arts. The arts, painting, sculpting, and so on. And the professors were fine, the academics, but they were under the control and had to report to officials. And while we were there, one of the officials had to leave because they had a meeting with the Communist Party and had to report on what's going on. So everything is in a controlled society. And the people live their lives in the midst of that. But people are also seeking for a spiritual way. And in the first part of the last century, there was a strong attempt made to evangelize in China. And unfortunately, the evangelistic effort was backed up by Western countries. And the Western countries tried to use the church to help them colonize China as well. And so under force of naval strength and military strength, China, in a lot of their big cities, gave up something they call the concessions. And the concessions were walled-in areas. There was one from Germany, there was Italian, there was French, there was American, there was British, and there's probably some other countries, and they put walls up around their areas. And in the midst of that, they built Christian churches. But the Chinese people themselves were not allowed to be in their own in those areas, only to clean and to do menial tasks. But they couldn't be in that area. They were kept out of the concessions. And they still carry this woundedness of that from that time. And part of the revolution in China was to say all of China belongs to all of China. And they've done a good job of raising people out of serfdom. A third have made it, but there's still two-thirds that haven't. But it was very interesting that while there are Christian churches, they're all under the control of the government. And they must report to a degree about what they say. A preacher is not allowed to just stand up and blast the government. All my sermons that have questioned various politicians over the years, Canadian, American, or whatever, would have gotten me in a lot of trouble by now had I lived in China. We're not free to speak. But people are questing a spiritual other. I went to a tea ceremony, and the tea ceremony lasted 3 hours. 3 hours! And it was very much like a Eucharist. They passed around dry tea for people to sample. And so everybody ate a piece of dry tea, and it was, with it was a whole sense of the spiritual otherness and the wonderment of tea and what it could do for you. Now, I only got a bit of it translated, but I got the essence of it. And in 3 hours, this leader was talking about how great the tea was of bringing you life and health and bringing you a sense of wholeness and helping you to have compassion with your neighbor. And I thought, but tea? And so the tea was almost like the host in our communion service. And then the tea was made, and was made in a very special way, with the water jugs all being specially used and poured back and forth. And there was a woman pouring the water, and then it was passed to this man who'd been doing all the preaching about the wonderment of tea. And then we all had individual cups, and we all had a bit of tea. Again, it reminded me of the Eucharist. But it was empty. It wasn't fulfilling. Everybody knew it was tea. There was nothing greater than tea. And I talked to a lot of people who, very educated people, who are wondering about something greater. A sense of searching for a spirit of wholeness and togetherness, of reconciliation, forgiveness, and freedom. And they wondered about their children, because what the communist government has allowed them to have is money. The streets were, on average, in the three cities we visited, were 10 lanes wide. 10 lanes. And some of them were 14 lanes. 7 lanes in each direction. And the cars were high-end cars from Europe and Japan and South Korea, and a few American cars, none of them more than 10 years old, and all of them, if we bought them here, would cost in the high $75,000 to $90,000 to $120,000. We're talking high-end German, high-end Volvos and Saabs and high-end Japanese cars. And people own these vehicles. And there's so many vehicles, they're only allowed to drive their vehicle on alternate days. If you have a 7 on your license plate, or, you know, an odd number, you can't drive on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But you can drive on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Now, I guess Sunday is a toss-up day. But what people do is, they buy a second car so they can drive every day. With an alternate number. But there's, humans are humans, right? But it was a sense of money was important. But thoughtful people were saying, you know, there's more to life than money. And there was a yearning for a spirituality. A yearning for a sense of something that's greater that connects us all. And some people, when they visit in North America, come to Christian churches and see themselves as Christians, but don't want to practice there because they feel it's an oppression and maybe it would affect their job. You'd be brave to be going to church. We visited in one of the concessions. It was in Tangier, the British concession, and there was a full Anglican church, stone, with stained glass windows, pews, but it was empty. It's kept up. Occasionally it's hired out for a wedding, but it doesn't have a priest. It doesn't have a congregation. It's a building. I mean, the church is the people. And so I feel that we should pray for the people of China. Oftentimes people here want to put China down. The people there are like the people here. They're like us. But they need our prayer. They need our thought. They may have wealth, but they have a sense of emptiness. And they've said to me, "We just feel empty." And I was able to share the gospel a couple of times to them about Jesus and the warmth of Jesus and the inclusion of Jesus. And I don't know what they're going to do with that because they don't have too many opportunities. Again, they have churches, but they're very controlled. But I believe that the way forward, and they mentioned that some of this is happening, are house churches where they quietly gather together. They read the scripture, they have prayers, they have prayer books, and they have self-appointed people who lead in the Eucharist. But they do have this sense, and they know that there is God's love extended to them. But there's a yearning for more of an open expression. Would I go back to China? Yes. But not at Christmas time, not at New Year's time, because the air is so bad. There's not many people over the age of 60 in China. Most have died because of the air quality. Sad but true. And I was in places where, you know, I don't like to think I'm old, but I was the oldest guy in the room. And I said, "Where are the old people?" Well, they said, "Some are locked up in there, or not locked up, but at home because they don't dare go out to breathe. But most are passed away. Most people die around the age of 60 because of the air." So there's a deep historic culture, Confucianism, the beauty of all of their painting and so on. But they don't dare push forward with new frontiers of taking risks. They're trying to perfect the beauty of the past. But when that happens, you forget the call of God now and moving forward. So as I said, pray for them. I don't know what else we can do. But just know that when we hear people putting down the Chinese, remember they're people like you and I. They're people who just want to live their lives to love and be loved. But also, a lot of people need to know there's more to life than the material they see around them. They have a yearning to hear about Jesus Christ, to hear that the Messiah has come, that God is with them, as God is with us. And we know that God is with them. But they have trouble because they're being prevented from hearing how God is with them and being able to express it. So today in our own Eucharist, let us be thankful that we live here, that we live in a country that is free, that we received a heritage of freedom of speech and freedom of expression and freedom of religion, and that we know that we are loved and are lovable. But also reach out and pray for those who are oppressed. Pray for those who feel they aren't loved and aren't lovable. And remembering that in this Epiphany season, we know that Jesus loves all of God's creation and that we are loved and are to love. May God bless us all. Amen.